Welcome to North Gates Podcast. We pray you enjoy the teaching of God's Word. May the Holy Spirit encourage, exhort, and comfort you. We invite you to come and see what the Lord is doing at North Gate. Come and grow with us. May you be blessed by the God of hope.
Last week, we started the book of Philippians. It's our practice here at Northgate to go through God's Word book by book, somewhat verse by verse. Sometimes it gets a little topical in the verses. But we started the book of Philippians. And last week, we kind of went verse 1 through 11. But we went with the theme of joy. Understanding what it is to have true joy, desiring joy in our life, not necessarily happiness. And we thought of different ways in which we can have joy. First and foremost, putting our mind on Jesus, His kingdom expanding within us. You might remember being thankful, choosing to be thankful, that causes joy in our lives. And as I was preparing this week, for this teaching, I felt it would be good not to just rush into verses 12 through 18. That will come very shortly. But to backtrack just a little bit to verse 9 through 11, which I will read to you right now. It says this, Paul writing to the church in Philippi, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." As you look at this book, and again, I told you it was like a postcard. It's not that long. It's four chapters. One of the reasons Paul's writing it is his thankfulness for a gift he's received. But he's using that small amount of space on that postcard to address some other things. But even from the beginning, this idea of joy, there's a sense that Paul has a very special relationship with the people in Philippi. And so when he writes, he's thanking God for them. And one of the things he does, which he does in his other letters, is he is praying for them. And we see this in some other writings of Paul. We know we just studied Ephesians, but he had two great prayers in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and chapter 3. And that might be a long time for you to remember, or you might know it because you're a biblical scholar. But in chapter 1, remember how he prayed for them that they would have wisdom and revelation to know God? And then he prayed that they would have hope, a hope of what eternity is. And then he prayed that they would know the power that is within them, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And a long time ago, maybe because I wrote the sermon and teach it, I remember it and you don't. But the idea is if you're wondering how to pray for people, wow, just think of that. It's right there. And then he goes on in chapter 3 and he prays for them that they would be strengthened in their inner man, that they may know what is beyond knowing, the love of God. Now, that's an amazing prayer too. So if you're ever wondering, but if you ever notice, and here we're going to get into this prayer for the Philippian church, Paul's not praying that they're going to get a new car. You know what? Paul's not praying anything external, really. It's internal that he's praying. He's praying internally that you would know in the deepest part of who you are, who God is. He's praying, oh, that you would know the love of God. It's interesting because how do we pray? Our prayers can be very external. I know sometimes in Sunday school or in my Bible class, like, how can we pray for you? We'll pray that we have a good day, that it's sunny outside. You know, and all of these are good things, but as we take note of this prayer and Paul's other prayers, he goes bang at the inside of who we are. He shoots to the root of who we are as people. And Paul loves these people. He has this unique ability that we all can have as well. But he, man, he loves these churches. He loved the church in Ephesus, and he loves Philippi. He loves Corinth, even though he had to correct them all. He loves them here, and this just flows out of him, and it flows into his prayer life. I want to tell you, one of the greatest ways you can love someone is not buy them a gift, though that's good. It's just praying for them. It's one of the greatest gifts you can give is to consistently be praying for people. Do you know, I feel loved when people say, I'm praying for you. If someone says, oh no, there's a lot of people praying for you, I don't have to, that doesn't demonstrate love, right? Now, if I say that to you, I'm praying for you, I really am interceding or trying to, doesn't it make you have a sense of worth and someone cares about me and someone's praying for me? It's almost a love meter in a sense. It's not hard to buy someone a gift, especially if you have money. But to give someone time in the idea of prayer and take away something from your life that you're giving it to them in prayer, it's huge. And this is the example we have in Paul. And here we come as he's so joyful. God's going to complete the work. And I'm partners with you guys in the gospel. And I long with you with God, like affection of Jesus Christ to be with you. Like, these are strong words, right? Like, and then when I pray for you, what does he pray? That your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. And there's a little switch. Ephesians, it was that you would know God's love. But here, he's saying, I pray that your love would abound. Not that I would not only know God's love. He's switching it to say that you would love. Ho, ho. Now, going to get into this a little later. But Paul, through the pen of the Holy Spirit, is a genius, and his prayers are specific to their needs. Right? It's great to pray for someone, but I started because they're like, Pastor Dan, how do we pray for you? So people say, how can I pray for you? I'm like, just join my email list. I'll tell you every week how you can pray for me. And you know what? I'm really honest on it. Like, hey, it was a great week. Hey, I struggled with fear this week. Or hey, I'm struggling with this, this, and this. And in those specific things, we can pray. And I think Paul, as we carry on in the letter, is telling them to love one another because he knows it's a need in their church. So it's really encouraging and applicable to us today, because I think the Holy Spirit has placed this scripture for us to learn to pray for one another. And how about this idea of love? Well, what is coming up on, what day is it? Is it coming up? Men, pay attention if you're married. No, it's just a winter day, right? Or you can use the good old excuse, every day is Valentine's Day. I'm such a good spouse, every day is Valentine's Day. Yeah, that'd get lame and old, right? Like, yeah, this whole concept of love. And our world says, oh, just gotta love a little more, right? If we just had a little more love, everything would be okay. But it's important to look exactly how he's praying to understand this. So let's look at it a little closer. He's praying that their love, and the word, first and foremost for us to understand, is agape. So it's not Eros, February 14th love. It's not like this passion, romantic love. It's not philos. It's not brotherly love. These things are good. This is agape love in the Greek, and you've heard it before, but Paul is praying that you would abound in agape more and more. Because there's no ceiling, friends. You see that? If you say, oh, no, I know how to love. I'm loved. I know how to love. Paul would say, no, there's a little more. Because you can always grow more and more in agape. Amen? Yeah, well, what is it? Well, we know 1 Corinthians 13. Okay, Dan, you've explained eros. We know that word. We know philos, brotherly love, Philadelphia. You've heard it before, but let's remind ourselves, what is agape? Well, it's a love with people that we need to abound in that is patient. So, Paul's praying that you would abound more and more in patience, in kindness, that you wouldn't be jealous, that you wouldn't be boastful, you wouldn't be thinking of yourself, you wouldn't be proud, you wouldn't be rude. You're not going to keep a record of wrongs and demand from people if they've made a mistake. That's agape. You don't rejoice in injustice. Agape never gives up when it's thinking about someone. Oh, when it's so easy to want to give up. Do you see what they did? Do you see who they are? You want me to love them? No, agape never gives up. Actually, 1 Corinthians 13, all these things I'm coming from there, says hopeful. Agape love to abound in us more and more is hopeful when it looks towards other people. It endures. Endures. How about that? Agape endures. More and more would you have the ability to endure with others, to be patient and kind and not think about yourself or rude or mark on a scorecard where they failed and they could have tremendously offended you or hurt you, but you continually, in the power of the Holy Spirit, love them. Ah, do you know what? I found out. I was in the hospital yesterday with Debbie, and I think Bob said, wow, thanks for loving us. And I said, you know what? You ever heard this? There's easy company and hard company. When you have people over for dinner or to stay with you. And sometimes it's a breeze, right? Like, oh man, you don't even notice there. You're helping with the dishes. You might even help with dinner. Like you say, where's the vacuum? You know, like that kind of company. Who wouldn't want that kind of company? And then there's other company where it's like they sit and they expect to be served. Like, I'm at your house. Why don't you use your gift of hospitality with me? And you're like, ah! And I said to Bob and Debbie, he's like, thanks for, you know what? You guys are easy to love. Like, this isn't work for me to go and talk about Jesus and pray for you. I'm the one blessed leaving, right? But not everyone's like that. Do you know that? You know that? Some of my hospital visits haven't worked out so smoothly. Some of my pastoral visits, I'm not leaving smiling, affirmed, and I was the one supposed to go to affirm. And it's interesting when we're told to have our love abound. I want to tell you, sometimes it's easy, and we can think of all the times when we love people who love us. Oh, it's so easy in my family. They love me. Or maybe that's the hard part for you. Maybe that is the hard part, right? Maybe the people closest to you are the ones who push you the wrong way. I guess the old joke, yeah, you go visit someone, it's like some family members you have problems, like fish, it's good, but a few days in the fridge, it's not so good, right? And there's people like that in our life. And it might be the people close to you, or the people close to you might love you, and you don't want anyone else in your life. Don't come over. No, thank you. Right? But I'll have you over and you over, and I'll go see you and you because that's easy. But what about when it's hard? Jesus even said, what are we supposed to do to our enemies? Hate them? Despise them? Stone them? We're not in the Old Testament. We're supposed to what?
Love them.
Love them. Agape. We're supposed to not keep a record of wrongs. By the way, we're going to get to it. I'm not saying you trust them. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you give them continued opportunities to hurt you. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, aren't rude to them. You're not boastful to them. You're not jealous. You're patient. You don't keep a record of wrongs. And this is consistent with New Testament thought. And if there is anybody in your life, and this is a battle, who's hurt you, and you're demanding something from them, you are in the wrong. Plain and simple. Because that's not the example of Christ. Again, that can happen. Spouses, children, right? Like, right? I remember, you ever have a discussion? That's what we call them in our house with you. You see your spouse. And you're like, do you remember when you did this? No, I don't, because I'm agapeing you. Right? It doesn't quite work like that. So I have PTSD because the last time you did this. Right? Well, you were supposed to forget, actually. But we're so good at that. And then we think we're the victim and we deserve. Well, good thing Jesus didn't act like that for all the times that we hurt him. Amen? Aren't you glad that he went to the cross while you were yet a sinner and while you were yet hurting him, that Jesus continued to love you all the way to the end? And this is what Paul is looking at them. And he's saying, individually in your families or people who have hurt you or within this church in Philippi, you guys, I want it to abound agape, what we've defined more and more. And it's actually really neat. The word abound in the Greek is super abound. It's not just, okay, it's coming. It's like overflow. So one thing we're known for in the Schilke house is floods. I don't know why. Power going out, ice storm, Dan didn't have the right pump, whatever, Jim Connor rescued me, just vacuuming all the stuff. I had my pump switch bust and it poured out water because it didn't shut off. And that was like 1 month before the ice storm flood. And then 1 month after, my hose busts outside on the deck in the middle of the night. So then the valve, the hose got a crack, right? Because it just froze and then it cracked. And I know you're supposed to turn it off, the valve at the wall. I don't need to hear all this right now. I just need to hear when I woke up, it poured out and my deck goes out the back a good, I'd say 10 feet, but it's right under and it poured out and I didn't hear it in the middle of the night. So under the deck, all the water, all night, guess where it went? Right into the house. Because it overflowed, it saturated so much into the ground that it poured right down the stairs into the back sliding doors. Water hopped over, and yes, there it is, another flood. And I said, I woke up, I saw the water, I was like, the pump's in the pit, what's wrong? Jim lent me my pump. And then it was something else. Why am I telling you this? Because the gush of water created an overflow that could not be stopped. And that's what Paul's praying. Not just a little water of love, but that it's gushing all night. And so your life is just super abounding, overflowing with love. It's not like, oh, I gotta work up a little love today. It's like when you overflow, it's the excess of what you know and it just flows out of you so you don't even have to try. Now, isn't that a prayer? Now you're like, I gotta pray for my whole family that way. And I gotta pray for my neighbors because it's about time I got some love. And I'm thinking in this congregation right now, who needs a little prayer to love a little more? Because have you seen them, Pastor Dan? They could use a little more love. I'm telling you, it's not going to work that way. It has to come from a genuine heart, not an offended heart, in our families and our lives and people in this church where I, in my heart, genuinely desire for you to abound in love. Not for me. Not for me. Do you understand? For you. Because there's no better way to live. And Paul knows this. Okay, so let's just, before we go on, Paul, Philippians, I said, he knows a specific prayer. Do you know in chapter 3 there's a big fight going on in this church? Do you know two individuals are in a major dispute? Okay, so my kids get in a fight at home. Not that it ever happened. Okay? You get them in, I don't know, we did all our talks in the bathroom. It was the only private place, all right? every bedroom had like three kids in it. So it's like, you can't be like, where am I going to go? Okay, let's lock ourselves in the bathroom. Okay. Okay. You're in a fight. You're in a fight with your brother, or your sister. So what do you think I'm going to tell them? You guys need to learn what? To love one another. When you don't see love, I get them in the bathroom, close the door. Forget about the discipline. Okay, I'm trying to explain this. Don't you love your sister? Why can't you love your sister? Come on, parents, you never had that talk? Or you're just like, wow, come on! Don't do that. No, we don't do that. We try to teach them and train their heart, or hopefully you do. Like, come on! Why is he telling them to love? Because there's a fight! Do you see it? Do you see scripture? You have to look at the whole. It's not like love one another. It's love because there's a fight. It's a love because these two individuals are, we see it so beautifully. Philippians is, oh man, you get chapter 2. It's all about unity and esteeming others better than ourself. It's like having the mind of Christ. It's like being one. It's like being full and abounding with love because there was an issue. And by the way, it wasn't just in the church of Philippi. It was the Corinthians. They had problems with each other, right? It's all these churches. Where you have people, you will have offense. It's not, we've been lucky to have people come to know Jesus here. Like, I've been so blessed at this church. And I could just going for walks with people. Pastor Dan, we love you so much. And you just do it like this. And our old church didn't do it like this. And oh, thank you so much. And I'm like, you know what? It's only a matter of time before I offend you. That's what I say right to them. They're like, Pastor Dan, you'll never do that. Oh yeah, I will. I won't mean to do it. Maybe I will. I don't know. But I have to look at them. It's not like you're not going to be hurt or offended. The question in a group or in Philippi is, what are you going to do when you are? Because we are people. At your work, you will get offended. Okay? With your family, you will get offended. Right? It is just the way it goes because we are people and there is the curse of sin. Even though we're new, we take some things from our old life and we have challenges, but we can live and deal with the offense through love better. And we can say, yeah, I blew it. I'm sorry. Oh man, I say that a lot. My go-to word now is when people are upset, which is the truth. I am dependent on God's grace. Because I make mistakes. And I need God's love. And I need you to love me now. Amen? Don't you want to be a person and a church that's just like springing forth, overflowing agape? And that's why we need to pray. You want to know how you're to pray for Northgate? Well, right here, I got 24 things for you. But when you're done with those, just pray that each of us would abound more and more in agape. You want to know how to pray for your families? Pray that you will abound more and more in agape. Do you believe God will answer that prayer? Do you believe that's God's will? Do you think it's God's will that we would grow in His love? Now, the Bible says if we pray according to His will, He will answer. This week I was in my church renewal group. And it came my turn where they were praying for me and giving me words, and I was super encouraged. But one guy said, I want you to realize again that when you pray, God hears you and your prayers are effective. And you can pull down heaven to earth. How is that? That's the Lord's prayer. Man, heaven to earth, right? Your will be done. Your kingdom come. What is in heaven to earth? May it happen that your love demonstrated in your character would be a part of our lives. And we have to trust if we pray according to God's will that He will answer, that He is effective. But you have to believe that God hears and God answers. Amen? Okay, so just to continue a little bit here. I love the Bible and how it evens things out, because it says that you will abound more and more. This amazing love, but it says in knowledge and discernment. And here's where we have a little wisdom. come. I think the Beatles sang, "All You Need Is Love." Is that correct? I don't know anything about music, but all you need is love, right? It's very interesting. Paul says that we would grow, but here, maybe the world's thoughts and the Bible's thoughts deviate a little bit. Knowledge is an experiential love. As we experience agape, we know how to love well. And I want you to know that God loves you. He gave His only begotten Son. He has forgiven you. But it also says in the same book, this Bible, that God disciplines those He loves. Does love mean giving someone what they say they need all the time? That's where this knowledge of understanding comes into play, and this discernment. I love my children, but when they're not ready, I'm not going to give them something that will hurt them. I'm not going to say, if I had a 6-year-old, here's the keys to the car. Go for it. Do you understand that? There's a discernment through, epinosis, experiential knowledge. And by the way, it doesn't mean that I'm not patient. It doesn't mean I keep a record of wrongs, but it doesn't mean that I give you everything you ask for. I have had people say, when you love them and you challenge them and say, that's not right thinking, they will write to me or they will say to me, oh, you think you're a church that loves me. Well, why can't I? No, I love you. That's why I'm telling you this isn't a direction, because the Bible says it leads to disaster. Do you see that? There's discernment. There's an experiential knowledge with love. And as I bumbled my way through being a pastor, if I answered every time someone came to me and said, I need money, why don't you guys love me and give you money? I wouldn't be helping the person in the particular specific situation, but we need to pray, how best do we love someone in that situation? Your children, your friends. And I really believe this idea of knowledge isn't a mind-only knowledge. Discernment comes from God, and it's an experiential knowledge through failure and success of knowing how best to love people. Now, come on. It's when I thought about that, and I heard about that, and I read about that, and I listened about that, I was like, that is so true in our lives. Because we're different. Think about yourself 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And how you love people because of the own needs in your life. And how you learn through experience. That didn't work. I actually enabled and hurt them more than I helped them. So Paul's praying here, yeah, may you abound in agape, but may you have the Holy Spirit's knowledge through experience and His discernment to know how best to love. It's not, again, I just want to repeat this. There's sometimes where I thought this is the best way, and as I prayed, the Holy Spirit has interjected, no, this is the way. Because my mind isn't always right. My mind works with the Word of God, with the power of the Holy Spirit, to know what to say, when, and how or what to do. And there's been times people say, can you come help me? Yeah, I'll come help you. But come help me. No, not this time. We told you, we encouraged you, you're forgiven. But I'm not going to get you out of this mess until you learn this lesson. Isn't that what we want? This is what Paul's praying, that you would have abound. And I explained. But here, just this little amendment at the end, in knowledge and discernment. I heard a story this week of a lady in the grocery store. You've seen it yourself, I'm sure. Her daughter, you've seen the scene of the story, pushing a cart, 2-year-old screaming their head off. Blah! Blah! I want this! Blah! You ever seen that? Well, maybe it was your kids. Anyways, Maybe it was you. No. Blah, blah. She kept saying over and over, Susie, be patient. We're almost done, Susie. Blah, 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 blah. Sorry, I don't mean to say Susie. Frank. All right. Frank, be patient. No, actually, it was Susie. Susie, be patient. It was Susie. It wasn't Frank. Gets to the teller, the cashier. Kid has calmed down a bit, still screaming a bit. Cashier says, man, whew, you've been so patient with Susie. The mom looks at her and says, I'm Susie. She was exhibiting patience, but she said, when we get home, just be patient, Susie, till we get home. Don't throw a fuss, but we can deal this calmly when we're home. Parents, have you ever said that? Wait till we get home. My only point in saying that is sometimes we deal with things at certain points in certain ways. And we need the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Amen? We need the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to be praying for each other. For those who are running dry today and you say, I don't have love. I'm at the end of my limit. I'm at the end of my rope. You know we're praying? God, make the rope longer. Right? For those of us who need wisdom, you might need to cut the rope a bit. But what we're saying is, God, give us discernment because we want to be a people and a church and a body that abounds and overflows with love and love done properly. Finally, as we excel and grow in these things, we're able to approve the things that are excellent. And you'll be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Isn't that our desire, that love would take us over so when Jesus comes back, that we're ready, there's no blemish, there's no blame, but his love is so set in our heart and that's how we're living, that he comes and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Love was flowing through you, right? Not when it's easy, when it was hard. And I think I've heard three times this week in three separate sermons, this idea that you will be sincere. Do you know what the world desperately wants? Is genuine people who aren't fake. Well, I was so curious this week. We were blessed in youth group. Joe Becker came, gave his testimony, and the whole theme was don't live behind a mask. And, yeah, it was great. The youth were stirred. I was stirred. Thank you, Joe. That was awesome. And then later, Thursday, I was cleaning for the ladies' breakfast, and on the shelf, there's a movie, Don't Live Behind the Mask. Oh. Now, what does that mean? Like, I tell everyone every feeling I have? No, no, no. I tell everyone every secret I have? No, no, no. You haven't read the Proverbs then. But what it means is what you see is what you get. And I got to know something secret. And the word is sinceri, without wax, they say in the Greek. Because in the Roman times, they'd have these marble statues. And if they break or something break off, a finger, a nose, or be a crack, they'd take wax. And they would try and pawn it off so no one would know. But it wasn't authentic. And you know how they figured it out? If you were buying something and you were buying a marble statue, is it without wax? Is it sincere? Is it genuine? You put it up to the light. Because not only would the light show a crack, but the light would melt the wax. The heat of the sun, if there was an imperfection, would reveal it. Now, this is amazing because in our lives, to be genuine, there is the heat of circumstances that will reveal where we have to grow to become more like Jesus for his return. Oh yeah, you following me? Those sermons were good I listened to. Today, are you living sincere? And again, I don't know what you think about the world. If you're a believer and true and you're genuine, they're okay with you. If you're trying to pawn something off that you're not living, oh, come to the love of God, and you're living like a jerk. Doesn't work very well, does it? One of the greatest compliments I ever had was someone who went on vacation with us. And at the end of the trip, they looked at me and said, you know what, you're the same guy up at the front as you are in the van driving to Florida. You're the same guy, like on the playground. And I don't think I always am, but I took that and said, thank you, Jesus. Because I don't want to be any different up here than I am in your home. If we go for lunch, we go for a walk. I'll tell you, I'm a goofball. I need the help of the Lord. I want to grow in love. But we have no reason to try to be something we're not. Because God, in His graciousness, brings heat to reveal where we have to grow. Remember, I started, not other people. This is about you. Don't look at someone else. In the heat of the pressure of life, God, where do you want to heal me so I can abound in love more and more? This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And what happens as we're sincere and we're growing and we're becoming blameless, as we're abounding in love, we're filled with the fruits of righteousness. And last week, this last verse, we said, love, what? Joy, peace, patience. We talked about joy, but the fruits, plural, comes from the fruit, singular, love. So as I'm abounding in love, guess what? 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to be more patient, more kind. Isn't that how we define the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, and patience. I have to sing the song. Goodness, faithfulness, self-control, right? That's how I determine it in my mind. The thing is, if I'm abounding in love, these fruits become a part of my life. I need self-control. People say, Pastor Dan, I need more patience. I need self-control. I need kindness. No, you need agape. And agape comes in different flavors. And here, sincerity. I find when I watch people, even myself in pressure, you determine who you truly are. I love the Lord. I'm calm. I have wisdom. But what if something doesn't go your way and we're together? Doesn't go your way. You have a need. You go in attack mode or do you go in trust mode? What is it? Oh, may God today fill us that we would abound more and more to overflow with His love that will come with many fruits that can edify the body of Christ. Valentine's Day. It's where we kind of started. The greatest gift is praying for the one you love, is praying that you will abound in love towards them. Amen. May it be so this Wednesday. Forget about Eros. Bring on the agape. Bring on the agape. May we be different than the world. Because guess what? Then the world will know us by our... Do you see it? Don't fight. Be filled with agape, because when the world sees a bunch of people who disagree but they can learn to get along, it's because they are filled with agape. Thank you, Lord Jesus, this morning for your grace and your goodness. Man, there is no greater demonstration of love than Jesus coming to the cross, letting go of himself. It wasn't about what he deserved. He said, not my will be done, but God, your will be done. And this morning we say, as we look at Jesus, as we look at the elements, we say, it's not about me getting, it's not about anything, but Lord, fill me with that. As I look at your love for me, fill me that I would abound with your love. Do you know what? I can even look at this and think of my life, all the times that I've blown it and failed, and in no way, no way, listen to me very carefully, am I condemning anyone for your failure? Because that's why Jesus died for us. And we are free, and we are free. Those chains are broken that we can love one another. I'm not condemning or saying this or that, because I look at this sermon and say, oh, I failed. No, we're set free by God's grace and we can go forward changed. Chains broken. To do the right thing, to love one another because of what we're going to celebrate, the love of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit does a way better job than I do. And I'm just going to have a moment of silence. I don't want anyone to talk. Ask God. If there's something you need to confess in your heart to Him, ask Him to fill you with His love. Agape. Pray for your family that they would abound in agape. Pray for this church.
Thanks for listening. If you want any information about our church, check us out at northgateministry.com. If you'd like to listen to more teachings, you can listen at YouTube at Northgate Ministry.